So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. So much to talk about, but what's getting in the way of your happiness? Do you ever think about this? I also have a question. If you've perhaps grew up Catholic and then reverted back to your Catholic faith, or you're a convert to the Catholic faith, why did you quit Catholicism to begin with? What did you think would make you happier in your search for happiness and ultimately joy? If you're new to our weekly happy hour, it's every Monday, and we tell you to pull up a drink, pull up a chair, and to discuss happiness and ultimately orienting ourselves toward the virtue of joy. What gets in the way of your happiness? Number's 1-888-914-9149. I would love to hear from you. You can always comment on my Instagram story or send me a message on social media. Find me at Timmerie, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, to share your thoughts live during the show. Also, I want to talk about joy activities. Have you ever heard of these? It's sort of what inspires you and makes you happy that you wish you did every day. I don't know. Maybe it's carving wood, maybe it's going rollerblading, maybe it's hiking a mountain, maybe it's ice fishing. Whatever it is for you, we'll talk about that and why these are actually important, but better than the idea of what motivates you. There's a difference between what motivates you and then what actually inspires you and brings you good joy, true joy. Have you ever thought about that? Also today, we're going to discuss the difficult decision all of us have to make, and that is, how do we choose God over our own comfort? It's a pretty hard day today. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this daily, if we're real about this. Also, letting go of the cancel culture that is real, pervasive, and coming after you, perhaps. But first, what gets in the way of your happiness? If you have a thought, it's Monday, maybe you've kicked off the week, and here you are, lo and behold, again on Monday. Feeling bitter, sick of your job, starting the week tired, feeling depressed, lonely, already looking ahead to the holiday season with a lot of trepidation. Why? What's getting in the way? I'd love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Let's talk about this, because so many people will give me reasons for why they're unhappy. Now, these top two, I'm a mom, I totally get. Tired, hungry. Yep, all the time. Nursing, always hungry. Yep, up really early. Luckily, not throughout the night anymore. That child of mine is trained. She sleeps 12 straight hours. If only I could go to bed when she goes to bed. But also, it's not just tired and hungry, which, by the way, are fixable things. You're tired, get more sleep. Oh, but okay, stop with the excuses. Get more sleep. I make the same excuses. You're grumpy because you're hungry. It's called hangry. It's called hangry, okay? Let's be real. I suffer from it. Raise your hand. I know a lot of people who legitimately suffer from this, but they deny it. Okay, Patrick and Lucas get hangry too. I didn't know this. Interesting. Now I know. Just put a piece of cake in front of you. No, do not put the piece of cake in front of you, unless it's Lucas's birthday, which, by the way, shout out to our producer, Lucas, here on Trending. It is his birthday. We won't ask how old he is, but fun fact, this is how I remember it's his birthday, because he shares a birthday with my favorite, and that is St. Alphonsus Liguori. Pretty awesome birthday to share. Okay, so what else gets in the way of our happiness? We're tired, we're hungry, let's see, we're lonely, we're jealous, we're comparing ourselves to others and what they have, we're afraid, nervous, broke, angry, self-occupied, in our own heads. Guess what? Every single one of these things I just listed, and I started with tired and hungry for a reason, because we understand that being tired and hungry is fixable, even if there are excuses. But all the other things, we're like, but I can't fix that. You're lonely? That's fixable. You're jealous? Yes, that's fixable. Afraid? Fixable. Nervous? Fixable. Broke? Fixable. Angry? Self-occupied? In your own head? All of these things are fixable, yet for some reason, all of these things are what we actually use as examples for why we're not happy. Or perhaps you just said, I've been canceled for being pro-life. Maybe it's a family member. Katie just said that on Instagram. I have been canceled for being pro-life. That's another reason why perhaps you could be unhappy. Because maybe it's a loved one, a friend, someone who disagrees with you so radically because of what's happening in the culture right now that they have taken it upon themselves to cancel you from their life, from social media. Maybe you've been blocked. You know, I think being blocked really isn't the worst thing. You know, I am a millennial and I did grow up with social media, and some people obsessively check their social media accounts. Like, okay, I had 221 followers yesterday and today I have 219. Who deleted me? And then they go on a witch hunt to figure out who those two people were. But let's be real. If you have 221 followers, do you really know who all 221 are? Okay, maybe if you only have like 15. By the way, that's really funny. There was a social media program. I don't remember what it was called. Something like 10 years ago. It came out and the whole idea was you really can't be that close to more than about 25 people. So they created a social media account. And that social media account was only meant to be for 15 or 25 people. Let's just say it didn't work. Why? Because the reality is that we are so addicted to social media that we need it to try and help us to define our happiness. Not enough people liked my social media posts, liked my photo, not enough people commented or shared. All of these are reasons that we make up in our own head, even if we don't say it to someone else, for why we are unhappy. That's why we're talking about it today. Now, all of this has a solution. You know why? Because each and every single one of these things, as I mentioned, are things that we can get out of. They're all, many of them, feelings or circumstances that are changeable. I was reading the Gospel according to Matthew this morning. And one of the things I've been doing the last week has been, I've been going to all, starting at the beginning of Matthew. And in the morning, my morning meditation has been, where does Jesus speak in sacred scripture? Took a couple chapters into Matthew to see where Jesus actually spoke for the first time. And I'm working through just where he spoke. And where I'm at right now was Jesus was baptized. I just started this a couple days ago. He was baptized, and then right after his baptism, he goes into the desert for 40 days. Now notice, of course, he's receiving the baptism from John the Baptist, which would be the idea is a baptism of repentance, right? Now, that being said, at his baptism, God, in a heavenly cloud with the Holy Spirit, says, "This is my beloved Son." His mission has been blessed by God. He has the life of grace within him, one, because he's God, but two, because God literally just acknowledged him as his Son. But just because Jesus had the grace of Christ, the grace of his heavenly Father within him, that didn't mean he was ready, even as God, to confront the temptation he himself would experience. Think about the temptations we all face. To be tired and not do something about it. To be hungry and not do something about it. And become hangry and mean. To be lonely and just kind of sit there and ruminate in our loneliness, jealousy, fear, nervousness, brokenness, angry, being self-occupied in our own head, any number of things that we can experience. They're all temptations for us to just stay in. Okay, yeah, but Tim Ray, I'm broke, I'm X so much money, much in debt, or I'm trying to provide for my family, it's hard. Yeah, okay, get a second job. Okay. Do what you have to in order to provide for your family. Is that easy? No. But the temptation is what? There's that famous quote I have said so many times in the last week and over again here on the show. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said, "The world offers you comfort. You were not made for comfort. You're made for greatness." The world offers you comfort. You were not made for comfort. You're made for greatness. What's your reason for being unhappy? And Katie Howe just commented on Instagram. She was canceled for being pro-life, and yes, by her own family. Sometimes it's comfortable, even within our own families, to be silent. And to not endure the disagreements that come from telling the truth, from doing what's right. And ultimately, here's a surprising thing. Sometimes years later, our family members will know that we're the one who they can come back to. We're the one who's been consistent, unwavering. So what does this have to do with after Jesus' baptism? He goes into the desert for 40 days. There he's prepared. And he is actually, when he's in the desert, I want to argue that he's being detached from everything in his humanity. Because God in his divinity doesn't need to be detached from anything. He has perfect relationships with all created things. But in his humanity, he had to have that level of detachment. And so what had to happen? He had to be tempted. So what happens? 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus Christ is in the desert. He eats nothing. The very first temptation that the devil offers him there in the desert is what? Matthew chapter 4. The devil tries to convince Jesus to make a couple of loaves of bread. Come on, that's all. Just eat a couple loaves of bread. Not only can you make them, because the devil is testing Jesus because he's not really sure if Jesus is God. So he's being very coy. Just make a couple of loaves of bread. You can do this. You're all powerful. Jesus' response to the devil is this. He quotes the Old Testament. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So the first temptation that Jesus receives from the devil, he says, "I know sacred scripture. I have the words of God within me. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What's significant about this? Well, one, he's not tempted by a momentary hunger. He's not tempted by the momentary tiredness or even loneliness and isolation that can make him feel really good, honestly, to just make a loaf of bread. Let's be real. This is what everyone did during COVID and the lockdown. Everyone started making bread. It made him feel better. We were tempted. We gave in to making bread. Did I make bread? I mean, I have made bread. But I don't know if I didn't jump on the bandwagon. Actually, a friend of mine, oh my gosh, God bless her. She was making gluten-free sourdough bread left and right and kept feeding me them. The rolls and the bread loaves while I was pregnant. It was awesome. Okay, so what did God do? Jesus Christ himself said, "You cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What's significant about this? Jesus Christ himself quoted the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit inspired scriptures to combat temptation in his own life. He combats the first temptation with the word of sacred scripture. This is also significant to me because I think I told you I'm going through Matthew and starting to read and focus and meditate on just the moments where Jesus himself speaks. And then here, one of the first things I read, "But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God," that is what we need in order to combat temptation. Okay, so then the second time the devil comes to Jesus in the desert, he's basically saying, "Okay, worship me. I'll give you everything if you'll just worship me. I'm going to show you everything in the world. Worship me. I'll give it all to you." And then Jesus responds again with a quote from sacred scripture. It is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So he just rebuked an idol in his own life, what could become an idol. So yet again, he depended on memorization of sacred scripture to combat another temptation. And what did he do? Putting God first and foremost. And that was actually the third temptation. I missed the second temptation. The second temptation is Jesus is told by the devil, "Look, just jump off this cliff. Save yourself. Your angels can save you. Why not? Just jump off." Isn't this similar at all to the temptation of the culture? "I'm going to alleviate all of my pain and suffering through suicide." Think about it. That's in a sense what this is. Now, the devil was saying, "Well, but Jesus, you know what? You know that angels can save you." You know what's interesting? The devil was trying to convince Jesus to die sooner and in a different way. If Jesus died in such a way, would there have been the proper life-giving, self-giving love of the cross? No, there wouldn't be. Jesus rebukes the devil again, denies the temptation. And he quotes sacred scripture again, saying, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, this is from the Old Testament. You see, Jesus Christ himself had committed to memory sacred scripture that helped him in battling temptation. Why do I give this as an example during our weekly happy hour? I love how we like turn to the cross, we turn to suffering, we turn to 40 days of prayer and fasting in the desert of Jesus Christ, the very first thing he did after being baptized. And he's tempted intensely. And yet what he uses to combat all of that temptation is the Word of God, the Old Testament, the inspired Word of God. This is a powerful, powerful reminder for you and I what we need to do to overcome those feelings of exhaustion, hunger, loneliness, jealousy, fear, nervousness, brokenness, anger, self-occupied, being in your own head, whatever circumstance or temptation or feeling we're experiencing. We're called to that virtue that we talked all about last week here on the show. Fortitude, to persevere in our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Number one, what did we learn from this story? Do we know the Word of God? Can I pray with Scripture without my Bible? Because I have some Bible verses, and not just verses, but whole passages memorized. When tempted, when sorrowful, when angry, when just sitting there delighting, am I able to bring to the forefront of my lips the words of sacred scripture from memory? Canticles, songs, even just the Magnificat of Our Lady. This is a challenge for us. A great place to start is the Magnificat of Mary. A great place to start is to memorize scripture through memorizing even the Angelus, praying it at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. I love it. Where I live, I can hear the church bells from our church nearby. I can actually see a church from out my window. And the bells ring on every single hour. The bells also ring. They clang really loud as a reminder to get to church just a few minutes before every Mass. And they continue to ring for a time during every single consecration of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Why do I bring this up? Because when I hear those bells, especially at 6, noon, and 6, I'm reminded in that moment, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity to pray the Angelus, the words of sacred scripture, the inspired words of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even within Our Lady, to make her fiat, be it done unto me according to thy word, back to the Archangel Gabriel. Are we able to conform ourselves through the memory of sacred scripture, the living out of the word of God, to battle temptation in our lives? Number two, we have to remember that sin, we can't sin just assuming God will fix everything. God can heal and forgive anything, but that's an intentional sin. When we sin, knowing, well, God can forgive me. That's us going into it. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways. Why do I bring this up? Because sometimes we sit here and just like simmer in our own jealousy. Like, yeah, I know I'm jealous right now, but that's okay. I really can't stand that person. Yes, I know I'm broke right now, but that's okay. You know, not providing for my family or not paying off my debt. That's okay. You know, we make excuses and we say, I'm tired. But I'm doing, quote, the best I can. I think a lot of us think we're doing the best we can. I don't know about you, but I can do a whole lot more better, right? All of this is relevant in the culture we live in to combat this pervasive nervousness and all of these fears and circumstances that are changeable, to choose to overcome the temptation that's getting in the way of our happiness. And I just want to comment one more time. You wrote to me on Instagram, one of you is commenting now. I just lost the comment. Why are you unhappy? Your family canceled you for being pro-life. Well, I think that this is a really great example of what's happening in the culture. And we're going to touch on the cancel culture in just a few minutes about how why we can't let the cancel culture make us unhappy. If you'd like to share your thoughts, you can give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also reach out to me on Instagram. Just go ahead and make a comment on the video. I'll be right back, and we're going to come back. We'll talk about the cancel culture. We'll also discuss what are your joy activities? What inspires you? What makes you happier? Are they things that motivate you, or are they things that inspire you? Should motivation make us happier? We'll talk about that more here on the show as we continue our weekly happy hour.